And so with that, it is our honor to invite Sheikh Ali Qummi, who will address the believers tonight on this Thursday night, talking about Islamic unity, a principle or a tactic. We invite him with a salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir la'in ar-rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم ما شاء الله. There are a lot of people, and it's the Jashn, it's the Wilada of Prophet Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, and also the Unity Week. Let's recite a louder salawat together. So today we are discussing Islamic unity, a principle or a tactic. To begin with, you know, I begin in the name of Allah and congratulate all of you, dear brothers, dear mu'mineen, dear sisters, mu'minat, the families, the children, all of you on the wilada of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then I also take pride to congratulate you on the wilada of our sixth divinely appointed and immaculate and infallible Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam. Thirdly, I would like to congratulate you on the Unity Week and the week of the sacred defense, the Difa'i Muqaddas, as declared by Imam Khomeini and Imam Khamenei, Rizwanullah Ta'ala alayh. Please recite a salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad wa Ajil.
The question that we would like to be dealing with today is, if Islamic unity is a principle of Islam, or is it a tactic, a political maneuver, as somebody would call it? Some people like to call it that it's just a political stunt. What they try to infer is that Islamic unity is a far-fetched idea that cannot be accomplished. That's why they say it's just a political maneuver, right? In order for us to be able to answer this question, inshallah, and dive into it as a student of this maktab of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam, I'd like your support with a loud, loud salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. So, as soon as you roll out any idea, like Imam Khomeini Rizwanullah Ta'ala in this case, in contemporary times, talking about Islamic unity, all of a sudden, for any new idea, there would be two groups, to say the least, right? There's a division that gets created. Some people are for the idea and the other people are against the idea. Similarly, in the case of Islamic unity, the same thing happened. As soon as Imam Khomeini Rizwanullah Ta'ala alayh, he announced Islamic unity, there were two camps that got formed. The first camp was pro-Islamic unity. And this is across the Islamic world, huh? Not just within Shias or not just within Sunnis. One is pro-Islamic unity and the other is anti-Islamic unity. These two camps, they further get divided into two each. The first one is, they say that Islamic unity is a principle of Islam, our question that we will be dealing with. The second group says that it's merely a tactic and a political maneuver. So in other words, they say that yes, thumbs up for Islamic unity, but it's just a political stunt that we are doing. It's just acting. It's just artificial. It's just superficial. It has nothing to do with Islam and the depths of Islam. It is not a principle of Islam. These are the people who claim this. So this becomes the second group within this first camp. The other camp, which is the anti-Islamic unity camp, they have two groups as well. Okay? The first one is based on lack of understanding. They never understood or they never tried to understand what Islamic unity is all about. So they don't even understand the basics of Islamic unity, but they become against Islamic unity. You know these types of people in the society, right? They wouldn't research, they wouldn't dig deeper into any concept, and they would take sides. They're just rushing into making choices without deep introspection and without deep inspection. So these are those lightweight people. They never researched about what Islamic unity is. They never tried to understand what Islamic unity means, but they're ready to point their guns at, let's say, Imam Khomeini and Rahbar, and they don't even understand. Then the second group within this anti-Islamic unity camp are the people who understand. They understand very well the details of Islamic unity, but their worldly benefits, hubbud dunya, their love of the world, their material benefits, they don't let them support Islamic unity and its concept. So these are the four groups and two camps really that we are going to be dealing with today. If you help me with a salawat, ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. So dear brothers or sisters, anybody who's not clear up until this point, they're going to be lost in the rest of the presentation. So feel free to just raise your hand or shout. I can repeat these four groups, but it's essential that we understand these four groups and they are printed in our mind. If there's any ambiguity up until now, let me know and I can repeat. Each one of these groups is important for us to identify in the society. We need to be able to understand what's happening. Why is it that over 40 years ago or more, Imam Khomeini talked about Islamic unity, still we haven't seen the idea gain that sort of a popularity that it should? You know, ideally, sectarianism should have been wiped out. After a faqih takes a position on something like this, sectarianism should have been wiped out. But we see that sectarianism is on the rise. It's eating up the Islamic societies, Islamic countries. So we have to be able to identify these four groups if we need to make and if we wish to make a change and bring about Islamic unity and make it a dream come true for Islamic Ummah, inshallah. So if there are any questions, ambiguities up until this point, say it. Otherwise, I will proceed with a salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. I'm going to keep this up on the projector, so inshallah, by the time you leave here, each one of you have this printed in their head. These four groups, which is primarily two groups, two camps. Now, pro-Islamic unity camp, it says that it's an Islamic principle. When we talk about Islamic unity, the unity between Shias and Sunnis, it is an Islamic principle. It's not a tactic. And we take the support from Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei, the leader of the Muslim Ummah, Hafadahullah, and we will see what his take is on the issue. Whether he sees Islamic unity as a tactic, as a political maneuver, or does he see it as a principle of Islam? He says, the unity and union of Muslims is not a tactical matter that some people think that we should be united with each other because of our special circumstances. No, it is a matter of principle. The synergy of Muslims is necessary. If Muslims are united, they will complement each other and everyone will be strong. Then he goes on to say, another day, some people imagine that unity is a political tactic. No, it is a faith of the heart, imani kalbi. We will defend this position, inshallah, throughout the rest of this presentation, because we say that Islamic unity is an established principle of Islam. It's an established principle of Quran. It is an established principle of the seerah and the sayings of the infallible Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. So we're going to be defending this position, inshallah. We move forward with the salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. So remember that chart up there, right? We're moving on to the third category. Under the anti-Islamic unity camp, we have the group which is based on lack of understanding. Their opposition is based on lack of understanding of the concept itself. So they would say something like this, and you probably have heard this in your circles. Those who do not properly understand what Islamic unity means, they see it as betraying their own sect. They're like, we cannot turn our backs on our sect for this whole unity and being close to the other denomination. They feel that if they do the unity with other Muslims, they're going to be disloyal towards Ahlul Bayt. That's a dangerous thing. Nobody wants to be in that position, right? We don't want to be disloyal towards Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam. This thing is set in some people's mind that the dalalat-e-iltizami of Wahdat-e-Islami is that we will be betraying Ahlul Bayt. We will be compromising on our deen. We will be compromising on our stances, on our beliefs. So what is our response to such people? Our response is that first of all, unity applies to Shias and Sunnis, not to Shiaism and Sunniism. Unity does not apply to two schools of thought. It is about the Sunni people and the Shia people. We're not saying that we merge the Shia and Sunni and somehow come up with a sushi. That's not the idea. Nobody ever said that. None of our scholars ever asked for it. So this is the first fear that some people have in their minds, that if we go towards the unity, Islamic unity, we are going to become sushi. We're not going to be Sunni anymore. We're not going to be Shia anymore. What are we then? We're going to lose our identity. So we say to them that unity applies to Shias and Sunnis. It is not a unity between Shiaism and Sunniism as maqatib fikr. Okay? The second thing we tell them is that unity does not mean compromising on our respective beliefs and aqaid. You know, you look throughout the history of Shia scholarship, they never asked you to give up your aqidah, your belief, and compromise your belief for the sake of Islamic unity. That's not the idea. Neither did Imam Khomeini ask for it, nor Imam Khamenei. But some people again have in their mind that if we have to be united, this means inevitably we have to drop some of our beliefs. Again, this is not the case. The third thing we tell them is that unity does not mean fiqhi conformity, jurisprudential conformity between Shias and Sunnis. So we're not proposing, when we talk about Islamic unity, we're not proposing that Sunnis, they start unfolding their hands and Shias start folding their hands while they're praying. Nobody ever proposed such a thing. We're not proposing that Shias start breaking fast when, according to their jurisprudence, it's not time to break fast. None of these things have ever been mentioned by any of our scholars. But some people in their minds, they think that if they go towards unity, they would have to change the way of doing ibadat and their worships, and now we would have to start paying zakat instead of khums. No, nobody asked you that. Nor do we expect Sunnis, when we talk about unity, we don't expect Sunnis to drop their fiqh. No, you keep following your fiqh. If your fiqh says that you fold your hands on your belly, do it there. If your fiqh says fold your hands on your chest while you're praying, do it there. We have no problem with it. Okay? So it is not the fiqhi conformity, something we have to keep in mind. Unity, again, does not necessarily mean to agree with each other's historical narrative. Some people think, oh, in order for us to be united, we have to stop talking about Ghadir. Stop talking about the Imam of Imam Ali alayhi salam, the Wilaya of Imam Ali alayhi salam. No way in the world has anyone ever asked that in order for you to be united with Sunnis, you have to agree with their historical narrative. It is not about not talking about what happened with Hazrat Zahra salamu alayha. We're not saying that history is not to be studied. History is not to be narrated. History is to be, you know, concealed. Nobody ever said that. The question is, do we highlight these to spread sectarianism or not? This is where the crux of the matter is. Do we use these historic incidents to get lesson out of it, or do we turn them into a fight with the other Muslims? And we spread extremism and violence, or we instigate others to become extremist and violent. That is where the issue is. So again, unity does not mean to necessarily agree with the narrative of the other school of thought. Okay? Unity, again, another misconception some people have in their minds. Unity does not mean to be united with the Nasibis and Takfiris. Nasibis are the people who officially hate Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, na'uzu billah. None of the Shia scholars, nowhere in the Quran, nowhere throughout the Ahadith and the Seerah of Masumeen have we seen that they united with the people, or they called for unity with the people who hate Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. So when we talk about Islamic unity in today's time and age, it does not mean that we are asking for unity with the Nasibis. There's no unity with the Nasibis. And as a matter of fact, I don't have time for it, if we look into the fatwa that the Maraji have given in terms of Nasibis, you can't even dream of having unity with them. The second group we cannot have unity with are Takfiris. Those who do takfir, yani, they call the other Muslims to be kafir. This mindset has no place in Islam. So when we talk about Islamic unity, it's not with the Salafis, it is not with the Takfiris. So this is our response to this first group which opposes Islamic unity based on lack of understanding. They just don't understand the phenomena. This is our response. Please recite As-salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. They may turn around and they say, well, you have said all this. Yes, we never understood it before. Now we understand it. So what exactly is Islamic unity? The same group, the third group that we're talking about. They would question, then what is Islamic unity? We're going to pray our own ways. We're going to fast our own ways. We're going to do Islamic charity in our own ways. So what are we uniting on, right? Well, to them, we say that first, feel compassionate and affectionate towards other Muslims, despite the differences. This is important, brothers and sisters. We acknowledge the differences that exist between Shias and Sunnis, the two schools of thoughts. Nobody is saying to not care about those differences. Despite the differences, feel compassionate and affectionate towards the other school of thought. The second point is strengthen and highlight the commonalities between Shias and Sunnis. I can assure you, if amongst this entire crowd, if I were to ask that one of you stand up, any one of you, and start laying out the differences between the two schools of thoughts, you would run out of the items. But if I ask you to list and detail the commonalities between the two schools of thoughts, each one of you can speak for 15 minutes. From Salah to Hajj to believing in one God, Tawheed, Nubuwwah, believing in the hereafter, Amal-e-Saleh, so many things, from fiqh and otherwise. Similarly, when we look at historic accounts, there is a lot of history that is common between the two schools of thoughts. There are a lot of beliefs, at least at the superficial level, they are common between the two schools of thoughts. These are the commonalities that need to be highlighted. This is what the world of Islam needs today. But if you notice, there are some who are hell-bent on finding the differences, even the minutest of differences, between the two schools of thoughts. Especially in today's time and age when we see social media. How many people do you know of who talk about the commonalities between the two schools of thoughts? But if I were to ask you how many people you know of on social media who talk about the differences between Shias and Sunnis, you would start giving me names. Isn't that true? Right? Why is it that this environment is being created? It's being orchestrated. When we have, let's say, on superficial level, surface level, 90% of commonalities, why in the world nobody wants to talk about the commonalities on social media? And let's say we have 10-15% of differences and everybody wants to just cling on to these differences. Why? Do you think it's a coincidence? There's a plan behind the scenes. The third thing, making sure that the sanctities of each other are protected and they're not insulted, they're not attacked. This is what Islamic unity calls for. So fine, I don't agree with a person that is revered by my Sunni brothers. What logical sense is there for me to go in his face and start insulting that figure of theirs? It's just insanity. You really don't like some of the historic figures and their followers? Well, where were you when Daesh attacked the shrine of Hazrat Zainab Salamullah Alayha? I'm asking these sectarian-minded people. You really wanted to take up a fight, right? Where were you to defend the sanctities of Islam when they were being attacked? Where were you when the shrine of Imam Hussein alayhi salam was attacked? They were 20 kilometers away from Karbala. Where were you? All these sectarian-minded people who are hell-bent on highlighting the differences between the two sects. Nowhere to be found. Guess what? Who defended the sanctities of Islam at that time? Same people who called for Islamic unity. This is essential, important for us to realize what's going on around us. The fourth point is the academic differences, which we do agree and we do acknowledge that they exist. These differences between Shias and Sunni, they need to be addressed in academic settings, not among general public. What does general public know about the sihat of a riwayah? So you can come up with any statement and say it's a hadith of Prophet. An average person who is not a Hozavi, who doesn't know anything about ilm-e rijal, ilm-e diraya, ilm-e hadith, what do we expect from them? They just take that hadith and start believing in it, right? You want to discuss these differences? Good. Do it in the academic settings. The Shia and Sunni scholarship should sit down. And they do sit down, by the way, wherever they get an opportunity, to iron out these differences. Right? Not everything is solvable, as you will see. Ayatollah Sistani, he said this, and I will show you the statement that he made. Not everything is solvable. Some differences are going to stay. And we know that. It's been centuries these differences have been around for. But you never see sectarianism being pushed like the way it is pushed today. Hence, we are in much more need of Islamic unity than ever before. To make a conscious effort, and this is for every single one of us, Muballigh, non-Muballigh, Hozavi, non-Hozavi, make a conscious effort to reduce the sectarian tension among the Muslims. Because there are those powers who are pushing for their sectarian agenda through sometimes people who are not very wise. They live in our ranks, unfortunately, but they're not very intelligent people. They don't have the basira and the foresight and the insight. They get used at the hands of these imperialist powers. the enemies of Islam, they are pushing for the sectarian agenda in different forms and shapes. And then you see these people, they go onto these social media, they create their profiles, they start talking about things that are going to instigate your emotions. They're instigating your emotions and Sunni's emotions, inevitably, by saying things. A conscious effort has to be made against such elements in the societies, not just in Shia community, in Sunni community as well. Downplay the sectarian narrative and counter the attempts to instigate the emotions of the masses. Brothers and sisters, wherever we live, wherever we are, we have relatives back home. Educate them. Tell them not to attend the majalis that feed on the sectarian narrative. Not to invite the speakers that spew out sectarian narrative, the poisonous sectarian narrative. It is our duty. You know, I cannot insist on it more. Inshallah, we will be looking into some of the verses of the Quran, ahadith. I don't have much time to comment on a lot of things that I wish to comment. Last point here, or second last, unite, plan, and defend against the common enemy attacking Islam and Muslims. My question to you is, when the United States of America, the great Satan, audaciously occupied Iraq, audaciously occupied Afghanistan, did they check whether it's a Shia country or Sunni country? They went ahead and occupied both countries for 20 years, and the entire Ummah was helplessly watching. What a shame. What a shame that the kuffar come, they occupy your lands, they do tajavuz on your women, they kill your elders, they destroy your infrastructure, while you can't do a damn thing in your own house. This is how pathetic we have become as an ummah, unfortunately. They are not the friends of Shias, and they're not the friends of Sunnis, the imperialists and Zionists. They're not going to work for your betterment. You yourself, we ourselves, all of us, we have to work together towards uniting the Ummah. Not a third party is going to do that. You know, there are so many contemporary issues that we should be dealing with together, Shias and Sunnis. Some of them are Islamophobia. Prophet gets attacked. His caricatures are made, his cartoons are made. Quran gets burned. Where are we? We're on social media spewing this sectarian hatred. Something that happened 1400 years ago. Ahlul Bayt, na'udhu billah, at that time got insulted. Yes, it shouldn't have been done. And yes, we protest against it. But what about the Quran being burnt right now? Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam being attacked right now. What are we doing about it? Their maktab being compromised. Their message being compromised and attacked. What are we doing now? If we are so sincere in our love towards Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, which we are inshallah, then we should be defending their religion, defending the Ummah of Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, protecting the sanctities of Islam. But you see, that no, overwhelming majority of Muslims is occupied with this sectarian bickering. Who created this environment? Something for all of us to start understanding. There's corruption in Islamic countries. There are wars going on in Islamic countries. LGBT agenda is being pushed. This 2030, the academic and the education model that United Nations wanted to be implemented in countries, it is being implemented. Homosexuality is going to be pushed in our schools in Islamic lands in not too far future. Where's our work? Where's our effort? Hijab bans are being done in the Western countries. Where is the voice of the Muslims? Technological development, we're behind as Islamic world, Muslim world, Shias and Sunnis alike, we're behind in technology. When are we going to start working towards it? These are all the questions that should be concerning Shias and Sunnis, both alike. But no, we're too caught up and busy with the sectarian narrative. Brothers and sisters, this last group that we're going to be talking about, and I had much more to say on different things, but last group that we'll be talking about here is someone who understands the Islamic unity, the concept of it, but their hubb ad-dunya and their worldly benefits, they don't let them come closer to it. They keep promoting the sectarian narrative, especially online, and especially in the Western lands. If you notice, UK today is the hub of sectarian narrative being encouraged and promoted and pushed. The Shias living there, you know, they have to be careful of their surroundings, who the speaker is, which direction are they taking, where they're taking their audience. So our response to this group is a three-layered response. This group, which is the last group, which knows what Islamic unity is, but their world and worldly benefits doesn't let them come close to it. We say you are in violation of the direct commands of the Holy Quran. They think that they are fighting Imam Khamenei, Imam Khomeini, you know, they are this other group, you know, that exists, another alternate. No, brothers, you are fighting Quran and the direct commands of Quran. It's not about Khomeini and Khamenei. Some people, in their hasad, in their jealousy, unfortunately, one of these times, you know, one of our teachers, our akhlaq teacher at madrasa at the Hoza, he said that hasad, it has 10 portions. He read a hadith, 10 portions. And out of those 10 portions, 9 of the portions are reserved for the ulama of Islam. It's a hadith. Only one portion out of these 10 portions, it gets distributed in all of the rest of the people in the world. And that includes ulama as well. So they have a share there as well. It's a hadith that he read. And I started to see that, okay, a lot of the problems that we have within the tulab circles, within the ulama, unfortunately, they seem to be because of the jealousy factor, the hasad factor. And as Ayatollah Dastaghayb Shirazi has mentioned in his book, Gunahane Kabire, that it is one of the greater sins to let this disease of hasad grow in our hearts. May Allah protect us all from this grave sin. Some of the people who think that they are acting in contradiction to Imam Khamenei, while Imam Khamenei, for instance, raises the banner of Islamic unity, they start talking about Hazrat Mohsin, the Shaheed, the son of Hazrat Zahra Salamu Alaiha. Here you talk about, for instance, Al-Quds Day, they start, you know, talking about Al-Baqi, Al-Baqi. You're all aware of all these things, you have seen them in your community. They're thinking they're countering Imam Khamenei out of that jealousy, but they're not. They're actually going against the direct commands of Quran, which we will show you, inshallah. I brought some verses from the Holy Quran to give you an example of this. Secondly, these people, they are in direct violation of the explicit instructions of Prophet and Ahlul Bayt in this regard. When it comes to Islamic unity, we believe that the Prophet of Islam, Prophet of Allah, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and rest of the Imams, all of our Imams, they were the emblem and the real flag bearer of Islamic unity. They kept the unity of the Muslims together in their times for 250 years. So now you're not just opposing Imam Khamenei or this camp of resistance that is promoting Islamic unity. You're actually going against the direct orders and commands and instructions of Prophet and Ahlul Bayt. It's not a small thing that you can just go around and do sectarianism, spread the sectarian narrative, split the ummah into pieces and get away with it. It ain't that simple. The third thing we would like to say to them is that you are openly opposing the clear directives and established stance of Waliul Faqih and the Fuqaha of Islam in this regard. And towards the end of the presentation, I will bring you the names, some names, although the list is too long, right? Some names of the revered Shia scholars who talk about Islamic unity and who push for Islamic unity, and inshallah, you will benefit for these. These pointers are for you to inshallah discuss, start discussing, having sessions with your families. Most of us are tulab here. And even those who are not tulab, as individuals, it's our responsibility to keep this ummah together one way or the other, despite the differences, right? So these are the three points that we are going to look at in the rest of the presentation. If you recite a salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Our response to these who are in the violation of direct commands of the Holy Quran, this is the last group that we're talking about, right? Quran clearly does the nahi for those who have done usul al-fiqh. The zuhur of nahi is in the action being haram. And the zuhur of amr is in the action being wajib. Isn't that right? Here Quran very clearly comes along and says, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Hold on firmly together to the rope of Allah and be not divided. تَفَرَّقُوا. Creating and pushing for sectarianism. In Urdu, we say فِرْقَ وَارِيَتْ. Quran has directly commanded not to do tafrika, not to do sectarianism. Yet, some of us, some of our people, unfortunately, they're audacious enough to go against the direct command of Quran. Then, Surah Ali Imran, the same chapter, verse number 105 says, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ تَفَرَّقُوا وَاخْتَلَفُوا. Do not be like those who became divided and deferred. Again, the word tafarraku, doing sectarianism. It's not just simple division. Sectarianism. The Quran is very precise. It used the word tafrika and ikhtilaf here. Then another verse of Quran, Surah Anfal, verse 46. Here too, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, وَعَتِيُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا. Oh, you who believe, and obey Allah and His apostle, and do not dispute. وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا. Don't fight, don't bicker with each other, don't quarrel. If you do so, what would happen? فَتَفْشَلُوا. Or you will lose heart. وَتَزْحَبَ رِيحُكُمْ. And your power will be gone. You know, sometimes we wonder, 2 billion Muslims in the world, how in the world they get insulted day in, day out. This is why. Quran has answered it for us. Why do we feel helpless that somebody can go around and disrespect Prophet of Allah, make his caricatures, and still be very comfortably living? It is because of this. Trust me, if we were united, they wouldn't even do and have the audacity to carry out such heinous crimes. But unfortunately, because the responsible people within the Muslim Ummah, they haven't pushed for the Islamic unity the way it should have been pushed, today we are in the state we are. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and be steadfast. Indeed, Allah is with the steadfast. Wasbiru inna Allaha masabireen. Then again, Surah Al-An'am, verse number 159. Here again, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ فَرَّقُوا. Indeed, those who split up their religion and became sects, you will not have anything to do with them. Their matter rests only with Allah. Then He will inform them concerning what they used to. Again, look at the word, فَرَّقُوا. Going back to tafrika. Then again, Quran says, those who split up their religion and become sects or do tafrika, مِنَ الَّذِينَ فَرَّقُوا دِينَهُمْ وَكَانُوا شِيعًا كُلُّ حِزْبٍ بِمَا. You look at the verse before it. turning to him in penitence and be wary of him and maintain the prayer and do not be of the polytheists, mushrikeen. I was looking at the tafsir of Quran. Right after this verse, this mushrikeen, Allah says, those who split up their religion and become sects. Tafrika is not that simple that we say, oh, it's just, you know, something we do in our free time. Allah is very strict here. He's saying, don't be from among the mushrikeen. And then the very next verse, it starts with, مِنَ اللَّزِينَ, at least those who know a little bit of Arabic, Allah says, those who split up, فَرَّقُوا دِينَهُمْ, they actually split up in their religion. Do not be like that. These are direct commands of Quran. These are not the opinions of Imam Khomeini and Imam Khamenei that you can just say that, oh, it's their opinion. Then Muhammadun Rasulullah wallazina ma'ahu ashadda'u ala al-kuffar ruhamau bainahum. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the apostle of Allah, and those who are with him are stern against the kuffar and merciful, affectionate amongst themselves. Let me ask you, if you're pushing for sectarian narrative, if you're insulting the revered personalities of the other school of thought, how in the world is it being affectionate towards them? So aren't we acting in contradiction to the direct commands of Quran, is the question. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you know, some people say, oh no, this unity is just not possible. Brothers and sisters, do not fall for this. Quran, even about Ahlul Kitab, Quran says that unity is very much possible. This verse of Surah Ali Imran, verse 64, it says, Kul ya Ahlul Kitab, O those who are the people of the book, Ahle Kitab, ta'alu ila sawa, come towards the common words between you and us. Bainana wa bainakum, between us and between you. Who is Quran calling? Ahle Kitab, not even Muslims. So it is very much possible that you can have unity with other Muslims who you have differences with. Historic differences, aqaid differences, ahkam differences, fiqh differences. You can still unite. We can still unite with them, and they can unite with us. It is just some selfish elements, and we will look at why I'm saying this. If you look at Imam Khomeini and Imam Khamenei, they have opened up this chapter. Who are these people who don't want the unity within the Muslim ranks? And we will talk about them in a little bit. So it is very much possible to have unity. Again, you know, the first response is done. Now we go towards hadith. Because a lot of times, people use the ahadith to say or to promote that it is good to curse, to insult, to disrespect the muqaddasat of others. Well, let's look at the ahadith from the authentic sources, what Prophet of Allah has to say, what Imam Ali alayhi salam has to say, and what Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq alayhi salam has to say in this regard. Please recite a salawat. Looks like a tired salawat. Let's do a fresh and a lively salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. So Prophet of Allah, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he clearly says, "Al-Muslimuna ikhwa." Muslims are brothers of each other. La fazla li ahdin ala ahdin illa bittaqwa. No one is superior to other except due to their taqwa, or based on their taqwa. Then Prophet of Allah, he says, "Al-Jama'atu rahma wal-furqatu azab." Again, keep looking at that word, furqa, being united as an ummah. It is a rahmah, it is a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And being divided and being the victim of sectarianism, sometimes we don't do sectarianism, but we become the victim of sectarianism. It is an azab, it is a calamity, it is a wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, Prophet of Allah, The references are written too, and inshallah the presentation will be available if you need afterwards with the video. Then again, Prophet of Allah, Prophet Muhammad says, "La takhtalifu, fa inna man kana qablakum, qablakum ukhtalafu, fa halaku." Do not dispute, for those who disputed with each other before you were destroyed. Halak shudand. He's informing us, the Prophet of Allah, Sadaqallah Rasulahu, Allah and His Prophet, they are truthful. He's telling us, you know, you want a package for destruction, the path to destruction is sectarianism. Go for it. He's informing us. Iyyakum wa tafarruqa. Avoid sectarianism. It's upon you. Fa'iza nazaltum. The hadith continues that when you land somewhere, all of you land. And when you move, move together. What is Imam Ali alayhi salam saying here? Stay away from tafrika. Stay away from division. With who? You don't do tafrika within your own ranks. It's definitely with the other school, the other maktab. Then here too, Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq alayhi salam says, just as Allah has commanded you, be connected to one another, do good to one another, and be brothers who do good to one another. Last hadith here, man salla ma'ahum fi saffil awwal. Somebody who prays with them, ma'ahum. Who are they? The Sunnis. In the first row, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, "Kana kaman salla khalfa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." It is as if he has prayed behind the Prophet of Allah. Well, let me ask you this thing. Do the Imams exaggerate? Do they just make up things? What is Imam trying to do here? The person leading the prayer from whom, from them, is not the Prophet of Allah. So why is Imam saying that it is as if you're praying behind the Prophet of Allah? What is he pushing for? Or the followers of Fiqh Ja'fariya? This is Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq alayhi salam speaking to you. What is he pushing for? We have clear instructions from the Imams of Ahlul Bayt that when they, whom again they, the Sunnis, when they pass away, go to their funeral. Clear ahadith, authentic ahadith. Go attend their funerals. Be with them. What are they pushing for? These are the Imams. These are not the Maraji and Fuqaha. We'll get to that. Brothers and sisters, we need to understand Islam. What we are being preached in many cases has nothing to do with Islam. It's just our own personal frustrations that are getting out and people are just venting, going off on this, you know, sectarian narrative. Now we move to the third and the last area where we are going to respond to this last group. If you recite a salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Those who understand what Islamic unity means but have their worldly benefits vested in the promotion of sectarian narrative, our response to them is that you are opposing the clear directives and established stance of the Wali al-Faqih and other fuqaha and maraji. This is our very clear position against those who fan the flames of sectarianism and hatred between Shias and Sunnis. That you are going against the established principles, no matter how famous of a speaker you are. If your statements are bringing up sectarian emotion and hatred between Muslims, you are going against the fuqaha of Islam and especially the Wali al-Faqih. Imam Khomeini says, today, world peace is such that all countries are under the political influence of the superpowers. They observe a control everywhere and have schemes for defending every group, defeating every group. The most important of these is sowing discord among brothers. So it is the agenda of superpowers according to Imam Khomeini. Muslims should be awake. Muslims should be alert that if a dispute takes place among Sunni and Shia brothers, it is harmful to all of us It is harmful to all Muslims. Those who want to sow discord are neither Shia nor Sunni. They are the agents of the superpowers and work for them. Whether they are on their payroll or not, it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, for all practical purposes, they're furthering the agenda of these imperialists and superpowers who want the Muslims to be divided. Those who attempt to cause discord among our Sunni and Shia brothers are people who conspire for enemies of Islam and want the enemies of Islam to triumph over Muslims. They are supporters of America and some are supporters of the then Soviet Union. I hope that through considering this Islamic precept that all Muslims are brothers, all countries, all Islamic countries will triumph against the superpowers and succeed in actualizing all Islamic ordinances. Muslims are brothers and will not be segregated by the pseudo-propaganda sponsored by the corrupt elements. The source of this matter, that Shias should be on one side and Sunni on the other, is on one hand ignorance, jahala, and on the other hand propaganda of the foreigners. If Islamic Brotherhood comes to the fore among Islamic countries, such will become a great power which none of the global powers will be able to cope with. Shia and Sunni brothers should avoid every kind of dispute. Today, discord among us will only benefit those who follow neither Shia nor Sunni. They, the enemies of Islam, neither want this nor that to exist. We must pay attention that we are all Muslims and we all believe in the Quran. We all believe in Tawheed and must work to serve the Quran and Tawheed. We move on to Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei. He says, the unity of Muslims is a definite Quranic duty. This is not an arbitrary thing. Right? This is not out of his own whims and wishes that he started to talk about Islamic unity. He says it's a Quranic duty. The intention of the enemies of Islam is to create division. The intention of us believers in Islam should be to create unity in Islamic world and among the Islamic Ummah. This is the duty designated to us by the Waliul Faqih. The dispute between Shia and Sunni is the desire of the enemies of Islam, who in all eras have encouraged Muslims to line up against each other and continue to do so. Some people think, and this is interesting, some people think that the proof of Shiaism to be haq is to say insulting things about the elders revered by the Sunnis. No, this is against the seerah of the imams, the way or the method of the imams. The fact that you see radios or televisions appearing in the Islamic world as Shias and in the name of Shias, whose job is to slander and insult the elders believed in by the rest of the Islamic sects, it is evident that its budget comes from the British Treasury. Very clearly he spells it out. Those who are pushing for the sectarian agenda, their budget is coming from British Treasury, one way or the other. Their budget comes from the British. This is British Shiaism, which some people try to lie about it and turn people against Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei. If you remember last year, the speaker, who's not even a scholar, Sayyid Ammar Naqshbandi, he lied that anybody who's living in Britain is the misdaq and example of British Shiaism that Imam Khamenei is talking about. He lied on the minbar for this entire speech, not just a sentence, and it was not a slip of tongue. Rahbar is saying this is British Shiaism. Those who are pushing for the sectarian narrative, they are the ringleaders of British Shiaism. People like, what's his name, Yasser Habib, right? People like Allah Yari, living in California. Yasser Habib is in UK, I believe. If you trace them back, one way or the other, they all reach Shirazi, Sadiq Shirazi. Sayyid Sadiq Shirazi. How in the world is it that everybody who in the English-speaking world is creating fitna and disunity among Muslims, they all trace back to you somehow? These are the questions we need to be asking. The TV stations that they have launched, and they're operating out of where? Not Medina, not Makkah, not Karbala, not Najaf. They're headquartered in UK, London. Subhanallah. It's not Mashhad. It's not Qom. Right? You're headquartered in London and you're pushing for sectarian narrative rather than discussing the issues of the Muslims living in these lands, their day in, day out issues. You're pushing, constantly pushing for the sectarian narrative. What's up here? And recently they were working on it. I don't know if they have it or not. They had a TV station that they were trying to create the office in Karbala now. Right? I don't know if it materialized or not. But know the British Shiaism. We have to understand British Shiaism when we talk about Islamic unity. There are some tasks, some people, some groups, they're tasked to counter any efforts by the followers of Imam Khomeini, by the followers of Imam Khomeini, by the followers of Ayatollah Sistani, by the followers of all these great maraje. There are some who are tasked to confront them, to counter them. Rahbariyya says, no one should think that the expansion of Shiaism, the belief of Shiaism, and the strengthening of Shia faith are all about insulting and talking in this way. No, this work in reverse. We do not accept Shiaism whose center and propaganda base is London. He clearly says it. This is not Shiaism that the Imams, peace be upon them, promoted and demanded. Shiaism, which is based on creating differences on the basis of preparing and smoothing the road for the presence of the enemies of Islam. This Shiaism is not Shiaism. This is deviation in haraf. Shiaism is the complete embodiment of pure Islam. It is the embodiment of the Quran. We support those who help establish Islamic unity. We oppose those who act against unity. This is what our stance should be for every single believer. Everywhere or anywhere we see, let it be in eastern part of the world or the western part of the world, wherever we see that the sectarian narrative is being pushed, we should feel responsible to act. At least go talk to the management. Nobody's saying, you know, pick up guns and start fighting. We don't want to create sectarianism in the name of fighting sectarianism. No, there are ways to control these things. Talk to the management, talk to other believers, talk to mu'mineen, refer to the ayah, the verses of Quran. Bring up the ahadith of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Look at the seerah of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam. Share that with people. Go refer to Imam Khomeini, Rahbar, Ayatollah Sistani, Ayatollah Makarim, all of these. You know, just say that sectarianism is a no-go, right? So we support those who help establish Islamic unity. We oppose those who act against unity. Today, both among the Sunnis and among the Shias, there are hands at work to separate them. If you search for all these hands, you will reach, important, the spying and intelligence services of the enemies of Islam. Not Iran's enemies, not only enemies of Shia, the enemies of Islam. Their intelligence services are behind this. And then the leader continues, Imam Khamenei says, a Shia who is related to the British MI6, a Sunni who is a mercenary of the American CIA, is neither a Shia nor a Sunni. Both are anti-Islam. Ayatollah Sistani, Hafizahullah, he says, don't call Sunnis our brothers, they are our nafs. What bigger statement can you give in terms of solidarity and love between the two? It's not just simply calling them brothers. These are the greats who have defended the Muqaddasat of Islam, the Shia Muqaddasat, the Sunni Muqaddasat, the Shia lands. They have fought the oppressors, the likes of Ayatollah Sistani. In the recent past, you have seen Hashd al-Sha'bi that God created in Iraq, who defended not just Iraq, not just the shrines, not just the mosques, even the churches of Iraq. Who created them? Who gave the fatwa, the famous fatwa? Ayatollah Sistani, hafadahullah. He says in another place, the Islamic Ummah is going through difficult circumstances and facing major crises, and enormous challenges are affecting its present and threatening its future. Everyone is aware of the need in this situation. Close ranks, renounce division, avoid sectarianism, and avoid stirring up sectarian differences. Those differences have continued for centuries. I was referring to it earlier, right? And there seems to be no way of resolving them in a satisfactory and acceptable manner for all parties. Hence, look at the conclusion he draws. Instigating debates about these differences should not be done outside the academic framework. Academia has to be dealt with in academic environment, not on the streets, not on social media, where people don't know anything about the things that they're talking about for the most part. He says, not outside of academic framework, particularly when these differences do not affect the fundamentals of the belief or religion. That's Ayatollah Sistani for you. And some people, they say, oh, we follow Ayatollah Sistani, they go on the minbar and they insult the personalities of Sunnis over and over again. Sometimes they say, oh, Palestinians are Nasibis. Well, says who? What's the basis of your statement? Why? Because they don't want people to be supporting the cause of Palestine anymore. And this was Ammar Naqshbandi for you. Back in the day, he talked about Al-Quds Day, back in the day, before he became what he became now. And today, he's turning people away from the cause of Palestine. How come? What changed? So we have to be very careful of who we are listening to, who we are taking even the history from. Here, some are some names, and this is the last slide before I finish. I'm sorry I've taken up a lot of your work, a lot of your time. The last slide, I've brought to you some names that we are all familiar with. All of these people, and these are just a very small list, they are in the favor of Islamic unity. It's not just Imam Khomeini and Imam Khamenei, as some like to portray. It's the mainstream Shia scholarship, contemporary Shia scholarship. Some have become shaheed here. Some are Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen alive, especially the leader of the Muslim Ummah, Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei. Please recite As-salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. So I'd just like to recap what we have talked about today. We've talked about Islamic unity is not a tactic. It is a principle, Islamic principle, an established Islamic principle. And why and how do we say that? In the light of three sources. One is the Quran itself. The other is the Ahadith of Ma'sumin. The third, and of course the Seerah. The third is the stance and the position of our fuqaha, especially the Wali al-Faqih, Imam Khamenei, right? We said that Islamic unity is what we need in today's time and age. Those who do not have the knowledge of what Islamic unity is all about, it's our duty as muballighin to explain it to them, that it's not conformity in terms of your aqaid. It's not conformity in terms of your fiqh. It's not conformity between the two schools of thought. In terms of history, we don't have to buy into your historical narrative to be united, right? These are the things that need to be explained. No, we're not talking about giving up our aqidah and our belief. We're not saying, you know, change the history. We're not saying we never talk about, you know, Hazrat Zahra, the oppression done on the imams. None of that is the case. Islamic unity is achievable while we believe in all these things. And this is something we have to inshallah, as the Muballigh of Islam, feel a responsibility and burden on our shoulder so we can pave the way for the reappearance of Imam Zaman alayhi salam, who's the Imam of the humanity, not just the Muslim Ummah, let alone the Imam of just the few Shias. He's the Imam of the creation. So we have to start thinking big, inshallah, and pave the way for the reappearance of our master, Imam Sahib al-Zaman, alayhi salam. Please recite as-salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.